Hey, this is Captain Greg. We're going to do a little radio show here, me and Frank. This
radio.
Should be real interesting.
Radio fishing, yes.
Radio fishing, yeah. And we're going to be talking about a little trip that me and Carl and English John took last week. It was the last Tuesday. I mean, we didn't set the world on fire, but we went out there and bent the rods and had a good time.
So, okay, I get to be the, you know, it's weird. I'm never in this chair over here. I'm always in the chair over there. So, where'd you guys go? What was up?
Well, that was the day that it was thicker than pea soup out there. We thought it was going to be a
the
lovely day. Well,
there was
the first
one of
day.
The first day of the pea soup.
The first day of the pea soup, and it actually got kind of warm that day. I came out.
Whose boat did you go in?
We actually went on Carl's boat. John insulted it right out of the gate as he pulled up to the dock. He says, geez, I thought you'd have cleaned it up. And I says, John, this is clean. For those of you that don't know, Carl has a tendency to let his boat get a little dirty between uses and washes.
Yeah, he catches some amazing fish.
Great fisherman. He's not much on cleaning.
No, he could use a couple of strokes of the brush on that.
Yeah, I think we should pitch in this year and buy him a pressure washer.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. That he's an amazing guy, and boy, catches some unbelievable fish. But boy, that guy, yeah, he could use a lesson in cleaning. But
yep.
Anyway, so you get up and you get in the, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, we all showed up down here at the shop waiting to go, and we thought, well, you know, it's a little foggy. We'll wait a little bit. Well, we ended up waiting roughly 2 hours. Then we met him down at the beach complex. He brought the boat over from the dock. Looked lovely, wonderful sunshine, and we came out of there, got around the point there, and we were in a wall of fog.
Now, you're the second person that's told me in recently that it was nice here in Port Charlotte. You know, the fog had cleared off, and then they took off out of the harbor, and just as they got right about Punta Gorda, about across there, marker one, and it just turned to pea soup again going to Cape Hayes.
Like running into a wall.
They
dropped the curtain.
That's exactly what I've heard from several other people. So it's a good thing, you know, for people to remember that just because it's clear where you are doesn't mean the fog isn't going there. And one thing you don't want to do is run fast in your GPS.
No.
Because, yes, you might be going where you want to go, but you get two people running fast on a GPS and you meet in the middle of that harbor, this is not a good thing.
And unfortunately, your GPS doesn't show you where that other guy is either, unless you've got the fancy boat with the radar.
If you've got radar and all those other things, I still really suggest you go slow. But especially if all you're doing is running a GPS line, you don't know what's in the water. Could be a kayaker. I mean, there's some of these nutcases are out there in the middle of the harbor, and there's no way to see them until it's too late.
Well, and we actually did run down the middle of the harbor rather than risk getting over close against the wall, because we figured anybody that was out was going to be over along the wall fishing the bar or something. But we stayed outside, and we actually had several larger boats running out there that were heading offshore, and they were definitely running too fast. You know, I says, oh, gee, let's see. We can see about 50 feet, and this guy's running 30 miles an hour. I think he should slow down.
He needs 200 feet to stop. I mean, I don't care what he thinks.
Yeah.
By the time he comes to neutral, he's traveled 50 feet or 100 feet, and then get the motor slow enough to actually be able to engage him in the reverse to hit the brakes.
Yep.
Now, you got 150
feet. He's going to run somebody over.
Yes. You're going to have trouble. And I've watched it happen out there going up the intercoastal. And I was running up some other boats, and I told the guy who was lead boat, so to speak, that just above idle, don't go above idle. This is too thick, you know, too close to quarters. Oh, I got a GPS line. And he took off running. He had to be doing 25, 30 miles an hour, which isn't fast on a normal day.
No.
But when it's pea soup, and him and another boat, they missed each other. Two 25, 26-foot boats missed each other by less than a foot, and they both swerved up. All you see was big bows going up in the air, and they just barely missed each other. If they wouldn't have respectively each turned to the outside,
yep.
If the other one would have
been
tried,
ugly.
Oh, it would have been real ugly.
Real ugly.
Because it was you know, back the throttles down, noses up, and over they went. And but they barely missed each other. But anyway, going back to the fishing.
Yeah, well, and we headed right down to Cape Hayes, and we actually went into one of my favorite spots, Muddy Bay. And we got in there. I mean, there was a guy sitting right in the mouth of Muddy Bay, too, of course. But we got by him, and that was fine. And we got in Muddy Bay, went around up to the deep corner on the right. And as soon as we got past that corner, it was like they lifted the curtain, and it was sunshine.
Oh, man. I love this sunshine. I am so happy the sun is shining.
I was, too, because we hadn't seen it in days at that point.
I mean, we've been talking about how bad people's attitudes have been and everything else.
Oh, it was horrible.
And everybody's just was getting grouchy and mean, me especially. I just couldn't believe how.
Oh, we could move up north for that kind of weather.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, come on. How do people live with that stuff up there, you know?
It had been, what, 4 or 5 days since we
had? At least.
Yeah, maybe six. Five to 6 days.
And at least.
That's a long time down
here.
And
cold and miserable on top of it, you know?
So,
but we got up in there and we actually got on some real nice trout up in there, caught a couple of snook, a couple little redfish. I mean, I would have worked it a little harder and a little longer than we did, but Carl was hot to trot to get over into Turtle Bay because he knew where there was a school of redfish that he'd been watching for a couple of days. And, you know, so
what'd you catch in there, redfish?
We got a couple small redfish. We got several nice trout. We got some huge ladyfish up in there. I mean, I thought they looked like baby tarpon coming out of the water. I was like, oh, yeah, the poor man tarpon strikes again.
Oh, yeah, that thing. But there, you get them 5 pounds, that is the most amazing fight in the world. Absolutely amazing. I just love that stuff.
I mean, they were 2 foot long, bigger round than my arm. You know, they were healthy fish.
And acrobatic. They pull, they jump, they do everything you want out of a spectacular game fish. I don't know why they don't go game fish with a ladyfish. If they would allow them to get up, they can get, you know, 8-10 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
the,
six,
the worst
pounds,
thing,
anyway.
Though, you know why they don't make them game fish? Because the minute you get them to the boat, you know what they're doing. They're pooping all over you.
Yeah,
what respectable game fish is going to poop on you? Come on.
Welcome to Florida. You know, as soon as you cross that state line, you know,
you're getting pooped on.
There's a bit of poop to be had down here. I'm telling you. If you think the only sand that's on is on the beaches, where do you see what Trojan does? You know, it's.
But, and then, you know, we fished up in there for probably 2 hours. And just enjoyed that and drifted around, worked some shorelines and stuff.
What were you using for lures?
We were actually throwing a Spook Junior, of course, my favorite, the Bone SL. I threw a Yuzuri 3D Minnow through that storm.
Twitching, whatever it is.
Yeah.
How'd the storm do?
It did good. I mean, and this time of year I expect it to do good since there's such a dearth of natural bait there. You can almost throw anything, and if you have it remotely look real, fish are going to eat it. You know?
Because I would have thought that, you know, with the Yuzuri or the storm, I would have thought you would have to move them real slow.
Well, we were working them slow. The water, you know, I don't know what the temperature was since Carl's GPS does not have a temperature reading on it.
He has a GPS.
When it's working.
Okay.
Yeah, when it's working.
Clean the connections.
All right. But so we weren't sure what the temperature was.
Which one was doing better, the storm or the Yuzuri?
I did better on the Yuzuri myself, but Carl and John were doing pretty good on that twitching bait on the storm.
Yeah.
They did real good on that. We were running neck and neck, and then we switched over to jig heads. Carl was throwing at the Rattlin.
Oh, the Rockport?
Yeah, the Rockport Rattler. He was throwing that. He did real well on that. And trout and ladyfish, I wasn't surprised with the ladyfish eating it bare, but the trout were eating it bare too. No bait, nothing. Just the rattler.
Just throw the jig head and
throw
catch
the
fish.
Jig head and boom. And he caught 3 trout like that. Boom, boom, boom. I was throwing a Mission Fishing jig head, and I caught trout on that. But I was putting a piece of shrimp on that, and we did good with the jig heads. So then we fished back there, like I said, a couple hours. We came out of there and ran over into Turtle Bay, went over to where Carl had been watching a school of fish on an oyster bar in there. They weren't there. We went into a little cut down below Gallagher's Cut. You know, he wanted to run by that, and I said, come on, we'll go in here and try this. Well, we got in there. There were fish everywhere. Redfish, snook, sheep's head. I mean, hundreds of them.
You
None
see
of them
him.
Would eat. Oh, yeah. It was crystal clear, and there's 4 or 5 foot of water in there. but they wouldn't eat a thing. I mean, we threw lures at them. We threw shrimp at them. We threw cut bait at them. They just totally uninterested. We played with them for a half hour, 45 minutes, and I said, you know what? If they haven't eaten anything by now, they're not going to eat it.
Well, it's tough because if they're sitting right on top of you like that,
yep,
and you're right there, they're there, you can see them, they can see you.
Yep,
it's pretty much, you know, you're not, you got a slim chance.
Yeah,
but it's too exciting looking at all them fish throwing at them. I mean, you know, geez, you're just going to do it, even though you know it's slim, but you know, you got to take the shot.
Yeah, I mean, I was dragging bait right across in front of their faces, and they just went.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were totally uninterested in what we were doing.
Yeah, just wiggle a mouse. The computer shuts off every few minutes.
But, so we did that, and, we really didn't catch anything up inside Turtle Bay. And we decided we were coming out of there, and we worked the west wall back in. And we ran in a half a mile before we sat down and started working it. And we were throwing jigs at that point. And we caught half a dozen redfish here. Decent.
Jigs and shrimp?
Jigs and shrimp. And okay. I tried a little bit of cut ladyfish. They were totally uninterested in the cut ladyfish.
As far as I know, you could throw cut ladyfish all over the harbor, and you're not going to do much. It's either shrimp or cut pinfish right now.
Right. Well, not we didn't have any pinfish.
So. Not live pinfish, but live or dead shrimp and cut up pieces of pinfish. That's been the bait of choice. That's what everybody's talking about.
Well, and I've had several people in the last couple of days go, hey, have you got any big pinfish that I can cut up? Well, we have a few, but...
We had a whole big box of them, and they're gone.
I mean, they're gone.
Nobody wanted them. I mean, we had this big, huge box of frozen pinfish, and we've been ordering more and more and more, trying to keep up on the demand.
Well, and they're using them out there, and the fish are eating the pinfish, you know? Not necessarily live.
No, cut them into pieces, and they hit them. Just put them on that rock port or on a jig head. And
yep.
Or on a hook and just throw them out there. It doesn't matter if you're using a hook or a jig head or however you're going to, you know, just get the piece of pinfish out there. Yep. But shrimp, live or dead, those are both working good.
Yep, they're great. It's always on the menu.
Yeah, but, I mean.
We did that. Until
but right now
ran.
It's the hot two. I mean, it's either shrimp or pinfish. You either got one or the other.
But we stayed on the west wall until we drifted in probably a mile like that. We weren't quite to the halfway point coming back in, and the water got disgusting. It was almost like there was some kind of algae bloom, and I talked to Robert about it when we got back in, and we were of the opinion that it had been such a low tide there for a couple of days that all the crap got worked up off the bottom with the water moving.
The cold weather, it got real cold, real low, so a lot of that algae and the plants die off the bottom, and as they start to die, the decaying process makes them lighter than water. It floats it all up to the top, and you get literally what looks like a sewer in some places.
And it smelled like it, too.
Yeah, you know, and it was like, that's the decaying vegetation that does that, and you're getting the methane buildup and all that other stuff. And the good thing is...
And it actually had that... We hit that methane smell a few times, but it actually had that smell almost like when you get the red tide kill. You get that kind of...
Yeah, dead, noxious fish stuff.
Yeah.
But that's part of all the little critters that live in that grass are floating up, and they've been killed. And so you've got a lot of decaying marine life, plants and all that, and it's all floating up at the surface. Good thing is it doesn't last long, and it's very short area.
And Carl was out there a couple days after that and said it was just absolutely clear.
Yeah,
it was gone.
It's a very short-lived phenomenon, and it doesn't do any real damage at this time of year. If we get that in the summer, you can get a major fish kills in those areas because that decaying plants uses a tremendous amount of oxygen. And when it's hot and still, the fish that are under that will end up in oxygen distress. I mean, they can run out of air in those places.
And they're done.
Yeah, it only usually only lasts 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, God, there's red tide in the harbor.
Yeah, and it only lasts 5 to 10 minutes, but very few creatures on the planet can hold their breath 5 to 10 minutes.
Not me.
Not me either, no. Now, you're doing the vapor smoke thing.
Yeah, and I'm getting better.
Yeah,
I actually have more wind, but I don't think I'm ready to try diving for 5 minutes without a tank.
No, yeah. I'm still doing the pure smoke, but I'm going to try one of these vapors. All you guys seem to be doing pretty good on that stuff.
I've been almost a week now, no cigarettes, and it's working pretty well. I'm impressed. You know.
Yeah, I got to give it a try.
But Yeah. Anyway, after we got tired of smelling that stuff on the west wall, it was pushing later in the afternoon, 3 o'clock or so. So we ran back into Rock Creek, and we actually sat back down on one of the upper curves, the deep curves up there, and we were just throwing jig heads with pieces of shrimp. We were down to pieces of shrimp at that point. And we actually got onto a school of reds. They were nothing big. They were all 16 to 20 inches. But we probably pulled in about 10 to 15 of them right in there. Got some decent sheep's head in there. And, of course, John had to save his favorite for the last fish of the day. He got his favorite puffer fish, you know. Like, come on, John. You could have went 5 more minutes without doing that. I got to tell you,
that's probably the first puffer fish I've ever heard of in Rock Creek.
I've never caught one there myself, but he got one.
I know I've fished there, you know, between, if you would count all the clients I'd taken in there over the years, plus how many times me and friends have been in there, I've seen literally hundreds, if not thousands of people fishing in Rock Creek and never saw a puffer in there.
But leave it to English, John. You know, it's those English guys. They attract them. You know what I mean?
I don't know. You know, he comes all the way to England to catch from England to catch puffers. You know,
and
I don't
know
what's
done
up
well
with
at it. He's caught one almost every day down behind Roberts too,
in the canals.
In the canal.
Oh my God! If you can catch puffers in the Port Charlotte canals, that you're really. I mean,
he's on it.
He's on it. Yeah. Leave it to the Brits, you know?
Yeah. But that was pretty much our day. I mean, we had a good day.
So you caught trout, ladyfish, and a couple of redfish, Muddy Bay.
Yep.
Did you get all the way back to Jake Lake?
That's where we were catching them, Jake Lake. We got on them in there just as you come in after the curve and it opens out. We worked up that right-hand side of the lake, and so we were on them.
Ladyfish, trout, some redfish up in Jake Lake in the back end of Muddy Bay.
Yep.
And in Turtle Bay, kind of a bust.
Turtle Bay, we busted out there. Yeah. We didn't get a thing. A
lot of fish, but nothing biting.
A lot of fish, you couldn't get nothing to bite.
Going up to West Wall,
a few redfish. We saw a lot of redfish moving. They were moving pretty quick, and they were heading south.
Yeah.
You know? And they were nice-sized redfish.
But those were more keeper fish.
Yeah. Keeper fish there.
A little more slot fish. Then up in Rocky Creek, some short fish and short redfish and puffer.
Sheephead. And a puffer.
And a puffer. You know.
But all in all, it was a good day. We put fish to the boat, bent the rods.
Yeah, we've got a few listeners in England. I was checking my stats on where, you know, who's tuning in and listening. I think we're up to like 10 people in England listening.
John probably told half of them to listen. You know?
But anyway, for all our British listeners, thank you very much. Pip, pip, you know.
And trust me, we harass everybody, not just Englishmen.
Yeah, well. But anyway, you going to play your music out? Greg's learning how to be the producer of the show.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to try to hit this music, and y'all have a good one. And thanks for tuning in to Radio Fishing, and we'll catch you next time.
This is weird. I'm not used to being in this chair. Did you get the button? It didn't work.
I hit it, and it's not working.
Oh, it's playing. Remember, you got to turn it up. Don't you guys like we're letting you know what has to be done? There you go.
And we're out of here.
Now I feel better. The music's playing. And this is Captain Greg.
And Fishing Frank.
See you on the next Radio Fishing.